Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
City Talk 105.9.
OK, you've probably seen the pictures on TV. If you haven't been home yet, let me give you the wrap on this story. Gunmen have targeted at least seven sites in Mumbai late on Wednesday through to today. At least 101 people have been killed. 300 latest figures have been injured. An Indian general has said 10 to 12 gunmen were still holed up at three separate sites. They attacked over five top-class hotels. And the worrying thing was this. This is what the gunman said. Put your hands up if you're British or American. In another hotel, they said, if you have a British or American passport, stand up. Well. The Indian Prime Minister has vowed to take whatever measures are necessary to track down those responsible for the Mumbai attack. He actually added to this. He said the perpetrators were based outside of India and he would not tolerate neighbours who provide a haven to militants targeting it. So what is this all about? Is this another Bali? Is this an escalation in terrorism to a new level and a new style of attack? He did a professional on this. So my producer, Joanna, has rung up Professor Eric Grove from the Centre for International Security and War Studies, and he's based at Salford University. Good afternoon to you, Eric.
Hello, good afternoon.
This is something that is brand new to us, a brand new experience, a horrendous experience. Are we seeing terrorism taken to a new level here?
Well, it's certainly an escalation in one particular way. It now appears that these people came ashore, or some of them at least, came ashore from the sea.
Right.
From a ship. The MV Alpha, that I have a picture in front of me at the moment, which might be some kind of large trawler.
Right.
And certainly rubber boats were used, and certain resources are saying that it may have come from Karachi in Pakistan. So we may have a very nasty international dimension to this.
Okay, now who are
Pakistan
these people?
Pakistan and India are both nuclear powers, of course.
But who are these people?
Well, my original thought was they probably had something to do with something called the Students' Islamic Movement of India,
okay.
CIMI, which was banned in 2008. In fact, it was unbanned for a few days, and then it was banned again. And it's sort of trading at the moment as Indian Mujahideen, or in this case, a Deccan.
What are their aims and objectives?
Well, their aims basically are to convert India into some kind of Islamic state. They dislike India's move towards secularism in general, and of course, they weren't just targeting Europeans. They were targeting businessmen and people like that. Many more Indians were killed than other non-Indians. That must be stressed, I think.
We tend
in the West to sort of emphasise that. And basically, they are trying to convert India from the secular democracy it is today into some kind of Islamic state. Also, the Indians constantly accuse Pakistan of fostering this kind of activity. They did it when the bombs went off in Mumbai before. What is different about this is that instead of just exploding bombs, serious and nasty though that is,
sure,
now we have people rampaging around with AK-47s, shooting everybody in sight, attacking hotels, restaurants, and this kind of thing. The main railway station crowded with people taking night trains, etc. It's a real escalation, in a sense, not just in terms of the numbers killed, but actually the manner in which they were killed. The attempt almost to completely disrupt the major city in India and to create as much chaos as possible.
So, Eric, this is only going to heighten the tension between Pakistan and India, who at the moment, whose relationship is very much on a knife edge in any case. And as you said at the beginning, two nuclear powers as well.
Exactly right. I mean, this is very serious indeed. I mean, I'm not in any way accusing the Pakistan government necessarily of being behind it, but there might be certain elements associated with it. There's always been the feeling that the Pakistani intelligence service is not fully under control, and it really can't get out of the habit of attacking the old enemy India at all possibilities.
So there's no link with Al-Qaeda here, is there?
Well, there could well be, yes. I mean, there are. When you talk about links with Al-Qaeda, you have to be sort of a bit cautious.
It's not,
they needn't necessarily be formal links. Certainly, I think the people who perpetrate orchestrated this would probably see Osama bin Laden as an example to follow. And in fact, the organization associated with this kind of attacks in the past has had links. Their name, Students, is of course English for Taliban.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of network, this franchise, if you like, of jihadi extremists, and the Indian version of that, or indeed one of the Pakistani versions. There's an organization called Lashkar-e-Taiba, which has had contacts with the Pakistani intelligence services, has been associated with attacks on Mumbai before, bombing attacks.
Right.
So this actually, I mean, this could convert into quite a serious crisis. I was quite gratified, really, when I started following this as soon as I heard about it on local television.
Scary.
On the Indian television, how the Indians were trying very much to as the Americans say, low-key it. They don't want it to lead to sectarian strife. The last thing they want are anti-Islamic riots, anti-Muslim riots, because that can be very, very destructive indeed. Look what happened when the state was, when India and Pakistan were set up. Equally, I think, the Indians are going to be not too quick in blaming Pakistan, but it's interesting that the latest statements that I've seen coming from senior Indian sources are, there were foreigners mixed up in this, we know where they came from, we aren't pointing fingers now, but we will. And watch this space, really. It could turn into quite a significant international crisis.
We're talking to Professor Eric Grove from the Centre for International Security and War Studies at Salford University, because in Mumbai, 14 police officers killed 81 Indian nationals, 6 foreigners. They have also been killed. Tell me this, Eric.
Yes.
How much does, from what you're saying, I don't think an awful lot, but how much does British, American and Western foreign policy have an effect on what these people are doing, or none at all?
Well, I don't think it helps. I mean, I think that one can argue about whether the Afghan invasion was a necessary response to September 11th. There's a growing consensus that the invasion of Iraq was a great mistake.
Sure.
And I think that the identification of Britain and the United States with those kinds of activities does make our people vulnerable.
There's
no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And India, of course, has a very strong link with Britain. How much of a part are we going to play in this in helping the Indians out?
Well, I'm not sure if we can. I mean, if the threat is relatively localized, I mean, I doubt if any of these jihadis. Well, it's conceivable, I suppose, that some of them might be sort of might have their origins in Britain. But I think it's very unlikely. Obviously, though, we will take a very considerable interest in what happened to British citizens there, and if we can be of any help, then I'm sure it will be offered.
Eric, thank you for your time. Much appreciated.
Pleasure,
Professor Eric Grove. Interesting views from Eric there. He's from the Centre for International Security and War Studies, based in Salford University. Any links with Al-Qaeda? Any links with our foreign policy and the USA's? I don't suppose you can ever be sure. What we can be sure of, it's a horrific piece of terrorism we wouldn't want to see repeated in this country, would we? It's 5:18, it's City Talk 105.9.